And if you didn't get here before the rain, you got wet. But it is nice to hear the rain coming down out there, is it not? This morning we're going to be looking at the first 8 verses of chapter 14 of Romans. If you want to turn with me there. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats the Lord. For he who gives thanks to God and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We seek your Holy Spirit to illuminate and guide us as we look at these scriptures. May you give us understanding, Lord, that is beyond the knowledge of man, but comes from you, by your hand. Father, I pray for myself that as I preach, you might use me as a conduit to deliver that word, to bless your people, and that my failings, my issues, myself wouldn't be what gets in the way or what gets presented, but instead that you would be presented in your truth and in your power. Lord, we pray that your blessing would be here for each person this morning. That none would go away from this place without having known that they've met with you today and been encouraged. Father, we pray for your presence here in this service. And we pray that we might be good servants as we live for you, as we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This first verse is an interesting one. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. We quite often stop with each phrase. We might say, accept him whose faith is weak. We're just supposed to accept people whose faith is weak and not seek to encourage their faith. We're just supposed to accept them the way they are. That's not what that's saying. Sometimes we stop and we say, we're not supposed to pass judgment on others. And that's not what this is saying either. And sometimes we get on that disputable matters. We think that everything is a disputable matter in Scripture. But the fact of the matter is it's not. What we're supposed to be doing is accepting those whose faith are weak without passing judgment on them when their faith is weak in those areas that are disputable. Now, what are the disputable areas? Paul pretty much lays most of them out or lays us out the direction or boundary of them. Diet, days of worship, just how close one is walking with the Lord, different areas. A disputable matter is going to be those things which isn't covered in express detail in Scripture. Scripture doesn't tell us whether or not somebody should smoke. That is a disputable matter. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells you it's something that you shouldn't be doing, then you shouldn't do it. But if the Holy Spirit didn't tell you anything about it, it's not my job to come up to you and say, that's a sin. You're going to rot in hell because you smoke. Because the Bible doesn't say that. So I shouldn't say that. Neither should you or I to each other. It's a disputable matter. Where the Scriptures are not clear, we need to give grace and mercy. I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but we don't all look alike. It's true. Not everybody looks as good as me. Most of you look better. But we don't all look alike. We don't all talk alike. We don't all think alike. We don't all do the same thing. Remember, we're all part of the body of Christ, individual parts of the body. It's one body, and we're each a part of it. We have parts within our body which look similar. One fingernail on this hand looks very similar to the one on this hand, but they're not exactly the same. But they're close. And a fingernail looks an awful lot like a toenail. And one hair follicle from the other, you know, some of mine are red, fewer of those than there used to be. Some are gray, some are brown. They're different. And just as each part of us is different, each part of God's creation is different. How many identical snowflakes are there? I heard a voice. Zero! They're... Snowflakes are unique, each an individual one. Now, if God makes each of us individually and He has us each part to do a specific job, why would He tell us all or have us all walk the exact same path? He didn't make us all with cookie cutter. He doesn't expect us all to live cookie cutter. Did you see that? Now, there are certain basic parameters under which everybody has to fit to be a Christian. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. No ifs, ands, or buts. You have to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, God indeed incarnate, who came and lived and died and was resurrected again. You have to believe this in order to be saved. That's not up for discussion. That's not one of those things that are disputable. If you start saying that Jesus is somebody else or something else other than God, then you're getting into a non-disputable matter, and that's something which I can come against you and need to come against you and say, no, this is what the Bible teaches. However, if you're one of those strange people that likes to put ketchup on eggs, I do. I did it as ketchup on eggs. Some people like it, some people don't. Doesn't matter as far as your salvation goes. People say, oh, pastor. Here they're having an issue about what the food is. See, remember the meat that they would buy, the meat markets there were all run by temples. So somebody They just didn't butcher the animal and sell it. You know, somebody took and butchered it at the temple. They got took their parts for their offering. They took the rest of it, and the temple sells it, or somebody from the temple sells it to make money. That was where most of your city people got their meat. Obviously, rural people could slaughtered the animals themselves. And people are saying, well, that animal has been dedicated to a God who's not Jesus, so that's idolatry, and I'm not going to have anything to do with it, so I can't eat that meat. That was the logic. And they were convinced of it. They were convinced of it. There were others, though, who looked at it and said, you know, I didn't slaughter that animal. I don't care. I'm not dedicating it to another God. I am dedicating it to the Lord. And Paul here says, either one is fine. And the apostles met and they said, either one is fine. These aren't things that we're supposed to get upset about or worried about. So we're not supposed to be judging one another upon whether we're each walking the exact same path and doing the same thing. Because you know what? God didn't call us all to the exact same path. And some people God has convicted. I have talked with people who said they believe that the Holy Spirit has told them that they are not to smoke. And you know what I've told those people? Then don't smoke. I've had other people who said, you know, I don't think God told me anything like that. And I said, fine. It's not healthy, but just don't do it in my house or my car. But that's your thing. And those of us who don't smoke, you know what? We're not supposed to be looking down upon those who do. We're not spiritually superior because of it. Or what we eat, or what day we worship. It's, are we doing what it is God has told us to do? What it is we're convinced in our heart that God wants us to do? Are we doing it? Okay? If you've been convinced in your heart, if God has convinced you, convicted you of it and told you, and you know that this is what you're supposed to be doing, are you doing it? Are you? If you're not, that's the point where I could say, you need to do that. But if you're not convinced of it, I shouldn't be walking around trying to make you fit the same mold I have to fit into. Because you know what? God doesn't want more than one of me. I don't know why. I think the world would be a much better place if there were lots of me, but hold, there is lots of me. Let's put it this way. That we are not supposed to make everybody else walk and talk and think and look exactly like ourselves. We are each individually supposed to be seeking to follow Christ as He guides and directs us. Not as I guide and direct you. Not as anybody else guides and directs you. But as the Holy Spirit guides and directs you. And those things which are debatable, don't debate. We're really not supposed to dispute or debate about them. We're supposed to just kind of leave them alone. You see, it's not our job to be judging how closely somebody else is following what God's will and direction for them is. You don't know what God has told me. You don't. So how do you know if I'm following what it is God has told me? So how can you judge how closely I'm walking with the Lord? You can't. Now, you can encourage me. You can come alongside of me. And when I've left those areas of dispute, if I step along the lines, you can say, no, Pastor, it's wrong. You know, when I got my wife number five, you can say, you know, Pastor, we're thinking you're in sin here. That would be true. Never going to happen. Okay. I got one. That's all I want. Now, I'm not supposed to be judging you. You're not supposed to be judging me, because that's our master's position. Again, that doesn't mean that we are not supposed to be watching out for one another and making sure that we're not stepping outside of those bounds. But we're talking about only the disputable matters. So many times we say, not supposed to judge. Hold it. We're not talking about, as long as we're talking about a disputable matter, they're right. But as soon as we move into an area that's not disputable, that the Bible is clear in its teachings, this is an area where we're not so much judging as we are helping one another to walk closely with God and holding each other accountable. It's part of what loving people do. If you hold me accountable for my action, I am much more likely to do what is right than if you don't hold me accountable. Nobody ever held me accountable for anything. I wouldn't do anything. Well, I'd do very little. Unless I felt like it. You know, because there's no accountability. Well, why should I? I'll do what I want to do. Why? Because I'm a fallen person. And I need you guys to hold me accountable to things. You know, if nobody bothered, just say, you know, hey, Pastor, we expect a sermon on Sunday morning. You know, I got up here on Sunday and said, you know what? I just didn't feel like preaching this week, so we're not going to. How often, and I did that like for 6 weeks in a row, I got a feeling that the elders would be visiting me. I do. And they'd say, Pastor, we think you're outside of the will of the Lord. And we think you ought to go find what it is at another church. So that's not what it's talking about. This is only not judging in those disputable areas. There, it's the Lord's job to be doing that. And if we are convinced that something is something that we need to be doing, we need to be following it. Even though we've got other people around us who aren't doing it the way we are. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that's what God wants us to do. Even if they're very godly people. God might be telling you to do something different. God tells most of us to wear clothes. There is a prophet who God told to lay on his side naked for 10 years. Now, if he wasn't doing it, even though God had told him to do it, he would be outside the will of God, even though everybody else is wearing clothes. But you got to be sure that God's talking to you before you go in that direction. Yeah, that's right. Now, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. There are some people who say, you know, that we need to worship on Saturday, and that's very, very important to them. And there are some people who say we have to worship on Sunday, and some people say, you know, it really doesn't matter what day, as long as I'm giving one day to the Lord. And this here is really saying any of those will work, as long as you are consistently doing what it is that God has told you to do, that you, what He has convinced in your heart you are to be doing, you're actually doing it. Now, there lies the little point. You know, we need to do what it is that God's told us to do. And if it's worship on Sunday, then worship on Sunday. If it's worship on Saturday, worship on Saturday. If it doesn't matter which day you worship, but that you need to worship, then you need to remember that you need to worship. And maybe you're a person who God said, I want you worshiping every day. Then you need to worship every day. It's what the Holy Spirit is telling you. What you have been convicted of. For none of us lives to himself alone. Dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. To the Lord is what I said. See, it's all about our relationship to the Lord. About our obedience to the Lord. About the fact that we belong to the Lord. To the Lord. How are you living your life? Are you living it to the Lord? Are you allowing others to live their lives to the Lord? Are you encouraging them in that endeavor? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to get hung up on some things. There have been some churches that have split over these, well, they split over color of choir ropes, which is definitely not one of those sacred biblical text items, which is not open for discussion. It is definitely a debatable and disputable item. Which color is more sanctified? Hold it. We don't even have robes anymore. We don't even have a choir. And there have been churches who have had issues with different instruments, types of music. You need to go and do worship in the style that God is telling you that you need to worship to, yes. But don't hold that one music is better than another. Don't hold that one worship style, location, day is better than another. It's, again, are you doing it to the Lord? The focus. God is more concerned about our relationship with Him than He is about anything else. That's why He came and lived and died, so that we could have a restored relationship with Him. He is more concerned about that. And He doesn't want the same relationship with you that He wants with me. Not the exact same. Because I'm not the exact same as you. So whether you're strong in the faith or weak in the faith, you're not to be, I mean, one to the other. But we are definitely supposed to be encouraging each other so that we can each one worship the Lord as best as He has directed us to. And He will stand, for the Lord is able to make Him stand. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have made us each one unique. And You don't call us all to live the exact same life. But You've called each of us to do different things. And that, Lord, even as we mature in our faith, You will bring us through different seasons where one place we're different than where we were previously. Not that one was right and one was wrong. It's just one place is where You want us to be, where another place is another location. For You can't stay in the same place and journey. And You want us to journey with You. So Lord, we ask that You would help us to be accepting of those around us who are different. to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Nor to think more highly of others than we should. Lord, might we seek our direction from You. And when You speak to us, might we listen and follow it. Might each day we live be to the Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand as we close by singing.